join me in prayer. We sing hallelujah, Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven sings this moment. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. We sing hallelujah to you, Lord Jesus. You came, you emptied yourself. You became obedient to death, death on a cross. You lived as one of us. You know the pains and struggles of life, sufferings and trials. You learned obedience from what you suffered. And you gave it all so that we might have life. We honor you, we praise you, we worship you, and we seek to follow you today. Holy Spirit of God, as we raise up Jesus, may all people be drawn to him today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Merry Christmas. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, welcome to First Baptist Church at this time of the year. Find in your Bibles 1 Timothy chapter number 3, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, and also go a little bit further back in your New Testament and find 1 John chapter number 4. You have two assignments for just a moment this morning as we start out together. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and then 1 John chapter number 4. Again, one more time, 1 Timothy 3 and then 1 John chapter 4. Now let me say a couple of things to you. We're thankful that yesterday we had our opportunity to work as we do twice a year with Second Harvest Food Bank, and we had a lot of our people here, and it was a wonderful day together. And our reports are that we were able to distribute food to over 1,200 people. I think we should say praise the Lord to that and thank one another for coming. Also, one person received Christ, and that's always good as we share with the cars as they come around. Our Gideons share Bibles. And so anytime we're doing that, we want you to come, bring your children, and it's a wonderful experience. Secondly, coming Tuesday, I'm calling all of our people as a church to join us and join the pastors in a day of fasting and prayer. And we have a guide for you. They're distributed outside. Please pick this up. Please join us. Our fasting time will be from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. And so you can pick up the guide. I know some of you have to work, but you can still form your day and join us as we fast and pray this time of the year, as we focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason for the season. And so we'll be doing this together, and let me encourage you to do it. The guide will take you through the process. Also, next Sunday, we'll be distributing something for our families, and it's called Solo. You know, each of us spend our solo time each day with the Lord. And this next year, all of us, we're going to seek to do this together. We'll have to remind one another through the year. A year is a long time. But we'll be using this along with our other kinds of Bible readings and devotionals. We'll be doing this, and I want you to use this during your prayer time. It will also help you as you learn to read God's Word and to study God's Word, which are habits that we need to learn from the Lord Jesus. So we'll say more about this next week. We're continuing to think these days about a very important topic. We read today from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is talking to this young preacher, Timothy, and he's reminding him of the important things that he's to make sure every church that they plant puts in place. He comes now and says to Timothy, I'm in 1 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 15, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. That's a description of the church. It's a description of First Baptist Church. We're a household, we're a family of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. And then he goes right on, by common confession. This is what the church confesses, is what he's saying. Now, Paul received these words and they were taught to Paul. These are ancient words. I remind you, these are ancient words that go back, I believe, to the apostles and to the earliest times of the church. And now here we are, these 2,000 years plus later, and we're reading and thinking and speaking and confessing these same words about the Lord Jesus Christ. By common confession, that is, this is the confession of us all who are believers, who are part of the household of God and the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great, mega is the word. Mega is the mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. And then we see a pronoun. He who was revealed in the flesh, was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. We read it again. By common confession on this December day as we come toward Christmas, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And then notice chapter 4, the verse chapter is added, but as Paul was continuing to write, don't ignore the chapter 4, verse 1, but he goes on and says, but while the church is confessing great is the mystery of godliness, here we are now reminded of what's going on in our world, far more updated than it was even in Paul's time. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, that's right now, that's today, as you hear me reading the Word of God, that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, if you'll take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter number 4, continue reading. 1 John chapter number 4. Beloved, verse 1, do not believe every spirit, that is, everyone who preaches, everyone who's speaking to you. Don't believe every teacher. Don't believe every teacher, religious teacher. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They're all around us today. You can listen to their podcasts. You can watch them on YouTube. You can pay attention to all of their electronic promotion. By this is the first time he'll say this several times. We'll read it now. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Here's how you discern the preachers and the teachers of religion. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only Son, begotten Son, into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He abides in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Verse 16, we have come to know and have believed. This is what the church is saying. This is what the church says. All of you who are here today, all of you hear my voice. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. 17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Our focal truth is this, that Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness. I can't repeat all that I said 2 weeks ago. For those of you who are here, the point is that we know secrets that the world does not know. We know mysteries and understand mysteries that the world can't comprehend. We are those who have been privileged to learn as followers of Jesus. We're the initiated ones. We're the insiders. We're the believers in this world, in this church. Far outnumbered across the globe by those who do not believe, who reject God, who refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are even great religions that say God is one and he has no son. God is one and he has no son. All around the world, there are those who reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But we who are God's people, we have a common confession. Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness. There is no one to compare in his nature, his character, his person, his work, his life, than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great mystery of godliness. And here we have it in 1 John 4. Here we have it. Notice in verse 15 of 1 John 4, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You see, believers confess together and have for generation after generation. The church may worship in different ways through the times. The church may gather and worship more structured, more freely. Whatever kind of worship style is not the significance. It's at the content and heart of the worship by common confession. You see, when we worship, we confess together to one another. We confess to the Lord, but we also leave this place confessing. Great is the mystery of godliness. And this is what we do. You see, anyone who preaches and does not confess, as John says in verse number 2, that Jesus is the Messiah, is not from God. Confession matters. What you say with your mouth matters. The Lord Jesus said, it's a warning. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you are ashamed to confess me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. You see, believers confess the greatness of the mystery of Jesus Christ. He's the hidden one. He's the hidden one from all ages and from all time past. There were figures and words and prophets who spoke of strange things. A sprout will come out of a stump, and all kinds of strange things were described by these prophets in the Old Testament of this one who was the hidden one, the coming one, the one who is to come. He's the hidden one revealed in the fullness of time, being born in a manger. That's what I'm pointing you to today. That's what I'm reminding you of today. Don't dismiss the manger. You cannot understand the cross, nor the resurrection, nor the ascension, nor the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not understand the manger. So go there at Christmas time, go there and kneel at the cradle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the hidden one, unknown to the unbelievers, but those wise men followed a star and they found their way and worshiped at the cradle of this great mystery of godliness. He's the secret one, known only by the church. We gather here to talk about Jesus. The rest of the world has long time ago, with all of their education and their thoughts, somehow moved away and said, well, you know, Jesus is not important. We have more important things to think about than Jesus Christ. He is the secret one only by the church, and he is the seen one, not seen by the unbeliever, but seen by those who believe. John said, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. While they saw him, many of the Jews of the same day, the smartest of the religious people who memorized all of the Old Testament, all of the first five books of the Bible, they missed the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we confess him as the great mystery of godliness. At Christmas time, we come to say, great is the mystery of godliness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our confession says, Jesus Christ is the one mediator, fully God and fully man, in whose person is effected the reconciliation between God and man. Peter said, you're the Christ. He confessed, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one, the Son of the living God. We have in various prayer books and various writings of the church, great is the mystery, Jesus has died, is risen, and is coming again. So I pause today to say to you, this is what we confess over and over. Whatever season of the year it is, in the times of Christmas, in the times of Easter, in the regular ordinary days of life, we confess Jesus Christ is the greatest mystery of all time. Jesus Christ is the greatest mystery of godliness. If you want to know what it is to be holy, if you want to know what it is to worship, if you want to know what it is to be a godly one, you look to the Lord Jesus. You set your eyes on Jesus. You study his words in the Word of God. You pay attention to how he lived in the Gospels, and you imitate it in your daily life. But you see, believers confess that the Lord Jesus is a great mystery, and there are some things that he's done that I just want to touch on briefly, and then we'll be on our way. And that is that he restores, let me give you some observations, he restores sinful men to a holy God. You see, this is a great mystery. It is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness, and he restores sinful men to a holy God. Also, it's a great mystery. Number three, he is the Son of God sent to be the Savior of the world. He is the one who is the Savior of the world. And here's a great mystery. He gives salvation to all who believe in him. Three amazing statements that are impossible. It's impossible for sinful man to have a relationship with a holy God. From the moment when Adam and Eve sinned in their shame, there was separation from God. That separation continues in the life of every person born into this world. We sin in the same way as Adam and Eve. We follow our own desires. We live in our lusts and our covetousness. We hate God. We hate his rules. We don't want to be bothered by what he has to say to us. We're certainly not interested in Jesus Christ. And so we are separated from God, holy God and sinful man. What can be done about it? The greatest of all mysteries is solved when Jesus Christ comes. He is the one who restores because he dies as the God-man. As he dies being fully God, fully man, be amazed, so that we might be reconciled to a holy God, we who are sinners in our sin. Also, this whole matter of him being the Savior. Notice what John says here in 1 John 4:9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. The only way you can have a real, meaningful life is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way your life will ever really mean anything and have significance and purpose is for you to come, humble yourself before the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sin, and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confess him to be so. You see, that's how we gain peace with God. We gain peace with God. Now we draw near to God, He draws near to us. Now we build our relationship with Him. We go to prayer. We spend time in His Word. And the Holy Spirit of God brings us into special relationship to God that would never happen without the great mystery of godliness, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also realize He is our Savior. What does the angel say to Mary at this time of the year? Today in the city of David, there's been born for you. There's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, I want to remind you today that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And I mean, I want to be very specific. Lots of confusion goes on around this fact. Lots of sad confusion. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That is, He is the Savior. He is the one who can save any individual who's ever born into the world. Not any select few, not some choice ones picked out ahead of time. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Oh, gaze and wonder. Be amazed that anyone could be saved, that anyone could be changed in their life. Jesus Christ died for the sins of every single person who's ever born or will be born on this planet until Jesus comes again. That's why whoever believes will in Him have eternal life. You want to stand and wonder at the greatest amazement of all? That God would send His Son in love so that we might be saved. I read it to you again. It's 1 John 4:14. We have seen, this is the church talking. I'm telling you as the church today, reminding you, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That is the whole world. Marvel at this amazing thing. Jesus said to a religious leader, the religious leader came to compliment Him. You know the story. We know you've been sent by God. And the Lord said, you must be born again. Born again? How can I be born in my mother's womb again? And the Lord Jesus said, don't be amazed, but you must be born again. Don't be amazed that I've said to you, you must be born again. You see, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and this is the final thing I want you to see, allows us to have a living relationship with Him. Look what 1 John 4:16 says. We have come to know and have believed. We have come to see, you learn it, and then you believe it. You learn the secret. You learn it, and then you believe it. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. Stop. Is that true for you today? Whatever you're going through, you might be in a really hard place right now. You might be really struggling in your life. You might wonder if it's ever going to be any better in your life. It's always going to be this way. You're struggling right now in your life. You're struggling. You wonder if the difficulties you have will ever be any different, but have you not, as the Word of God said, have you not come to know and believe the love which God has for you? God loves you in your hardest of times. God loves you in your most difficult circumstances. God loves you in the most happy and joyful of times. We have come to know and have believed the love of God, the love which God has given for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God. You see, it all becomes this amazing mystery. How could God love me as sinful as I am? How could God love me? Well, He loved us and sent His Son. So if we confess, here we go, with our mouths, Jesus as Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. John Wesley wrote it this way. I can't sing it, but I'll try to quote it. Stupendous mystery. Stupendous mystery. God in our flesh is seen, while angels ask, how can it be? And dwells with sinful men. Our nature he assumes, that we may his retrieve. He comes to our dead world, he comes, that all through him may live. You see, today we confess, great is the mystery of godliness. We have come, verse 16, 1 John 4, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. What is his love? Sending Jesus Christ, the greatest of all mysteries. There's never been a man who was fully God and fully man walk this earth. Never. Nor will there ever be another until the Lord Jesus comes again to this place to make things right that are wrong. There's never going to be another like him. As you come to Christmas time, you know what next week is about? You know why we pause to fast? Because we need to pause. I know I'm preaching. The wind's blowing right in my face. The wind's blowing. The culture of Christmas, the world's culture of Christmas, it's blowing in my face. The church is all caught up in it. We're busy. We got big. Pastor Mike, it's 11:35. I got to get out of here. I got to go to Walmart. I got to go get some pies. I got stuff to do. I got lists. I got to go wrap presents. I'm stressed out. The wind's blowing in my face. But I'm going to keep trying to say it to you again. It's going to be a sad Christmas season if you never take the time to sit down and adore and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, the great mystery of godliness. So that's what we will do this time of the year, regardless of our shopping lists, our activities, our travels. We're stopping so that we might gaze and adore, as we sang today, the glorious mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, just because you know the secret doesn't make the mystery any less mysterious. The Lord Jesus is still the glorious God-man. And we'll begin to look over the next few weeks, Lord willing, at each of these phrases, yes, one by one. Now you know what I'm going to be preaching over the next few weeks. You can decide if you want to come to church or not. One by one, we'll look at six amazing statements about the great mystery of God. Well, what do we remember today? Jesus Christ is, do I need to drive it home again? One of the nine-year-olds knows what I'm doing now. That's what this is about. Driving home my point. Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness. Worship him with amazement. Can you get back to that church? Can you get back to that time when you were saved? Do you remember what you were like before you came to know the Lord Jesus? Take a walk back in your mind. Think about what the Lord has saved you from. What is the hymn? We sing it. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Stand amazed in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and you'll soon find yourself bowing down, adoring him, following him, imitating him, seeking to live like him. We have said as a church that our first purpose will be to follow Jesus. If I'm your pastor and I'm not doing that, I'm a hypocrite and a liar. I choose to follow Jesus. Make it the ambition of your life, not an ambition to get rich, not an ambition just to have a happy home so you have a good family. Make it your ambition to follow Jesus. Oh, wherever he leads, you'll go. Wherever he leads, you'll go. You'll follow Christ who loves you. So be careful. I'm going to follow Jesus. Then follow him wherever he leads, you go. Secondly, I want you to think about it. Think about how God has saved you from your sinfulness. Sinners are reconciled to a holy God because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, the Bible says. I'm looking at this room filled with people who have the name they were given at birth, but you're new people. You're a new person in Christ. You don't like the things you used to like. You've changed. You don't run with the crowd you used to run with. You associate now with others who follow Jesus. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. You've been born again. You're a changed person. We come to Christmas and we remember, this is a great mystery. Someone says, how did he change? How did that man change? What happened to him? He seems so different. Well, he met somebody. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ who changed his life. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Celebrate Christ receives sinful men. Christ receives sinful men. You know, we had the prisoners here from the jail helping yesterday. They had to wear stripes. My grandson didn't know why they had stripes on. He's 5 years old. He didn't know why they had stripes on. He didn't know that they had committed crimes that they were having to now pay for based on our laws. They violated the law. But you know, we all are sinners, not just criminals who go to jail. You do know that, don't you? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And even as followers of Jesus, if we say we have no sin, we're liars. Because we all still have to come every day by the grace of God and confess our sin. Sometimes it's our pride, our religious pride, and our arrogance, our unteachableness, our unwillingness to follow the Lord Jesus and submit to His will and plan and purpose for our life. Whatever it is, I remind you of this today. The Lord Jesus saved you so that you might follow Him and go to someone else and say, guess what? Jesus Christ, you don't think your life can be changed. Jesus Christ can change your life today, and you can never, you don't have to live like this. You can live your life in a new way and rejoice in God. And finally, the very privilege you have of living in the Lord and the Lord living in you is because of the great mystery of God. Think about your fellowship with God today. I gave you this verse on the screen. Behold what manner of love the Father has given you, bestowed on you. You're a child of God. You know what you get to pray? Father. You get to say Father. And the Lord Jesus taught all of us in the disciples' prayer. It's been prayed for thousands of years. Maybe different traditions in different ways. Our Father who is in heaven. That's what the church says. That's what the church says. Our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven. The Heavenly Father now loves you because you love Jesus. That's what the Lord teaches us. And the Heavenly Father loves you enough that now because you love the Lord Jesus and have confessed Him as your Lord, guess what? Now God abides in you and you abide in Him. And you have a rich, eternal relationship with God. By the way, this experience you have of living in God and God living with you, keeps on going even when you are dead. You will be alive in Jesus Christ. So what do we read today? By common confession, church, and we'll do it at the end of the service. Great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord is near to the door, and we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus.